Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. There are sometimes words of God and also songs which speak to the one or the other in a special way. And every time when I hear this song, "Who enters the pearly gates as a victor?" then it touches me on the deep inside, because this will be the greatest and the most glorious that can happen to a person. And because this is so, we must make all efforts to reach this destination by the grace of God. It will not take place by our own efforts, but by the faith which God has laid into us. And we are grateful that we may trust Him. As we just heard, we don't trust in men, not even in ourselves, but in the Lord. The well-known word from 2 Chronicles 20:20, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." That's how it's written literally. Let me read it so that you know that we not just say it, but that we let the Holy Scripture say what it says also in this point. 2 Chronicles 20, second part of verse 20. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." There are prophets and there are his prophets. And we have heard the difference already in the example which Brother Rus just gave. Pardon me, but the song just touched me so much. There are prophets whom God has sent, through whom he could speak and work. And such men sent from God, of them he said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who hears you hears me." With this much is said, very much. And if somebody should have the impression that we mention Brother Branham sometimes, maybe somebody doesn't feel very good with it. I want to say to you honestly, I feel well with it. I'm grateful to God that he has sent me this man across my way of faith. A man sent from God with a message of God for the people of God in this time. We are not fools. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but the mighty revelation of the Word of God. And we were introduced into the promises for this time, because we received a prophet sent from God. The reward of a prophet will be given to us. Also, this is written in the Bible. It's not written, "He who receives an evangelist receives the reward of an evangelist," or "He who receives a pastor receives the reward of a pastor." But it is written, "He that receives a prophet, he shall receive the reward of a prophet." What does this want to say to us? A prophet will face resistance with his message. The majority of the people will reject him. They will bypass what God says. But them who find grace before God, they will hear. They will bear the reproach and later on partake of the glory. And to them we want to belong. To this comparison belongs the story of Ahab and Jehoshaphat with the prophet Micah, when 400 prophets prophesied. There Jehoshaphat asks Ahab, "Tell me, is there not some other prophet through whom we could ask God?" 400 should be actually enough. It's quite a number. And the man asks for one. The 400 seemed not to have, there was no feedback. And this man of God says, "Ahab, is there not another prophet?" 400 were already there. The one even made himself horns and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And who has spoken? A lying spirit enticed all these prophets. And then came Micah. And the two who fetched him said, "Listen, prophesy also good things, and say what the others have said." And then it broke through. "As true as God lives, only that what God reveals to me, this I will say." This was the difference between the prophets in the large number, in the plurality, and between a prophet of God who could say, "I have seen the Lord on his throne and the heavenly host to his right and left. He has heard the conversation in heaven. He has spoken on the basis of divine revelation." God didn't change yet. We believe that Brother Branham was a true prophet, a prophet of significance in the plan of salvation, as then was a Agabus who gave a prophecy which was fulfilled, but then also a Paul who had the overall view in the plan of salvation, a teacher, an apostle, a man with a prophetic sight, who could even write what would be in the last days. Just read it in the epistles to Timothy. Read it in the epistles to the Thessalonians, how he writes of the day of the Lord, of the falling away, of the man of sin, of everything what would be at the end. A man with a prophetic sight under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham had a very hard stand, and at the end, almost all doors were closed, but God started to open the hearts of those who were determined to receive the word promised for this time, so that it might be fulfilled in them and through them. And for this, we are very grateful with all our hearts. This afternoon, I don't feel like to speak or to preach. Perhaps we have brothers who are here for a visit from Poland or from Czechoslovakia or from wherever, whose hearts burn. Then it should take place that we at least give them the opportunity to bring a word of greeting. The brother of Sister Witt arrived, but he denies. 3 weeks ago, I was with his brother in Pretoria. Today, I see him here. The world became little. Somebody else whose heart is burning. Nobody here. Then let us read some words in the scripture. But before that, we stand up to pray. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, who you from the very beginning hast chosen your vessels, forming them, you ordained them from their mother's womb to serve you in all truthfulness and faithfulness, who you direct and lead all things, you who have an overall view and who will bring everything to pass. We ask you, be today in a special way present. Lord, we are transferred into your presence. You addressed us, and we ask ourselves, who will enter the pearly gates as a victor? Those who have overcome through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, who have not loved their lives unto death, they will enter the pearly gates. Lord, you foretold through the psalm writer, open ye ancient gates and let the King enter. Lord, he will not enter alone. We will be with him. Oh, we thank you, Lord Almighty God, that us, the least, you have not overlooked. People leave us left and right, but you received us. What is nothing in the world, this you have chosen to manifest your might and glory, so that no man glories before you. And whoever wants to still glory, let him glory in the Lord. Great God, with deep gratitude, I would like today all my sisters and all my brothers, bringing them anew to you, that we not only would have preached, but at the end, a fruit comes forth, a multitude which will have part in the translation and in the rapture. Dear Lord, this is the goal of our preaching. This is the whole purpose of the message which you have given, to call out, to separate, and to prepare. We ask you, just as you made Rebecca willing at a time to leave everything behind and to go with, make us willing to leave everything behind and to obey the call of the bridegroom. Faithful Lord, very soon we will cry out, come soon, Lord Jesus. Oh, the day is coming to its end. It has become evening time, and it has become light at evening time, so that we see the way illuminated until the midnight hour. Lord, many things touch my heart. You know it. And I ask you, be now with us. Crown us with mercy and loving kindness. Let us in these days once for all be aware of what you have done for us, and that we have been included into this finished work of God. Dear Lord, we place us under the coverage of your blood, under the leading of your Spirit, and we ask you, Give us your word, fresh and alive from your throne. Make us all still, that we submit under your mighty hand. For to the humble you give grace, and this grace we expect today. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to read some scriptures which will strengthen us in the faith. In Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 from verse 20, the following is written. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. What a word! When such things happen to us, then we have much reason to thank. On one hand, our hearts are filled with a deep pain, with a woe, because we have the mind of Jesus Christ in us. Therefore, together with all whoever tasted the cup of blessing, we want to enter the pearly gates. We don't want that even one is missing who once tasted the grace of God. No, we want that all reach the destination and behold the glory of God. Here, we are told, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Already the hunger is called blessed. We could not have hunger if God would not have provided the food to satisfy this hunger. We could not be thirsty if God would not have provided everything to satisfy this thirst. He has taken care for everything. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. On that day on which God will do it, there our mouth will be full of laughing and the tongue full of glory, and the Lord will wipe off all the tears from our eyes and say, it's over, don't weep any longer, ye have reached the destination. The day and the hour will come where those who laugh now, then they will weep. And those who weep now, they will then laugh. Everything will turn. Those who are wise now will then be foolish. And those who are now put aside as fools, they will then be the wise. And then probably the saying will be fulfilled, He laughs best who laughs last. Beloved, God has a way with His people. It's a narrow way, a thorny way. It's not a pleasant way. But if it leads to the destination, then we want to walk it as long as God gives us grace, without murmuring, being thankful that we may walk on it, for it leads to the destination. The broad way is pleasant for all and everything has room. But if we enter through the straight gate, then the way gets narrow, then it gets steep, then it gets thorny. Suddenly, no one understands us anymore. Friends, withdraw. And as it is written here, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. It's a deep pain if one has to find out what kind of hatred is in the surrounding. And one has a heart full of love. And nevertheless, one has to realize that there are people who answer the love with hatred. Incomprehensible, but that's how it is. And here the Lord says it to us. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. We would ask ourselves, my God, what have I done? I only tried to do the best. And here we are called blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. All this is written in the Holy Scripture, so that we don't despair in our trials, but that we receive comfort from the Holy Scripture and thank God for it. As it is written, thank God for all things. It's not easy. There is not one sincere man who thanked God for unpleasant things. For all the good, we can thank God and men. But when something comes which gives us trouble and problems, to then say thanks, this is not easy. But the Holy Scripture says it, that we should even rejoice and leap for joy. I don't know whether one of us can do that. Maybe I can see the hand of him who is already so far. As it is written here, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. What does this word of the Lord wants to tell us? Look away from everything what is temporal and what fades away. Look to the end, to the goal. Look into glory. Rejoice and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. And this is what matters. Whatever happens here on earth, Brother Brenham once said, if we accept God's word fully, then here we will be thrown out of certain churches. And then he adds the next statement and says, here being thrown out and there being thrown in. So then it was worthwhile. If it belongs to it, if God has included it into his plan that it is necessary to come out from all denominations who anyway bear the Antichrist mark, and then to come into the church of the Lord, then we should be grateful if this call was addressed to us, and grateful that God has given us the grace to hear it and to obey it. Another word which still refers to the sermon of this morning and on that what we read is in Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul never spoke arrogantly, and also no other man of God. But he trusted the Lord and said here, that I may know him. Didn't he know him already? He met him in the bright light at noonday. The Lord revealed himself to him. But I tell you, if God already revealed himself to us, then such a deep longing comes up in us that he reveals himself even deeper to us. Is it so or not? If we once tasted how friendly the Lord is, then we time and again want to eat of this spiritual food. For I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the dying belongs just to it, to then be resurrected with Christ. Another word we have here in Timothy, namely 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Here the apostle writes, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul has given a summary of his former life, and he glorifies here the grace of God. He brought nothing of himself. He just received the gifts, and he expresses it here. I thank him who has enabled me. He can also enable us today. The same God who has called a Paul, putting him into the ministry. The same God spoke to us through his word and can enable us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Putting me into his ministry. Not people said, but as it is written, God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. People place and displace. God sets in, and it remains thereby, because his gifts and his callings are without repentance, because his decisions are always perfect and are forever valid. I'm thankful for him. Are you also thankful, dear heart? Can you say with the apostle, I thank him who pardoned me, who enabled me, who comforted me, who redeemed me who placed me into his body. I thank him who counted me faithful. Paul writes in another place, even if we would get unfaithful, yet God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his children, whom he has begotten by the seed of his word and by the Spirit. They are the proof that he called them into existence. Thankfulness shall come forth from our hearts. From the sermon of Brother Branham, I would like to read from page 9, just a few lines. I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We are getting them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. This is very much on my heart. We all know that people go to all kinds of churches. They make some decision. They are ready to accept the doctrine and what is being said and done there. And thus they are joining a church. But we are before the question whether we have been born into the church of the living God. Whether we, to speak with the letter to the Hebrews, belong to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, or whether we just came to a church and then coming to a rest. Beloved, eternity is too long to pass over deceived. And certainly not under the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God is here to expose the religious deception and to show the people the way to Christ and to lead them to Christ through the Spirit and the Word. And we want that we not only earthly make up a church, we are grateful for it, but we want to have the certainty that we all do not only belong to a church, but that we belong to Christ, that we are a possession of God, and that our faith can withstand the hardest trials. Brother Branham continues to say here, he is the only one and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. And if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life he lived. And we probably mentioned this already this morning, or maybe even last night. In the Old Testament, the life of the sacrificial animal could not come back on him who sacrificed. But now, when the Lamb of God was given as a sacrifice on the cross, his life was set free. The life is in the blood, and he has given his blood so that his life can come back on the blood-bought multitude. His life is eternal life. And if we belong to his people, then we must have his life in us, his mind and his nature, having it in us and on us. It continues, and if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, and you are anointed with a life that was in Christ and that it is upon you, as it is written in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it also quickens your mortal body. That same life, them same power, them same beneficiaries that he had here on earth from God. What a wonderful truth! The same life, the same power, the same blessings, everything remained the same with God. Oh, that we could grasp it by faith, that God wants to confirm his word, that we count with it. If we only come together and just count with it, that a sermon is being preached, and that we then sing a song and then depart again, then it will happen just that way. Then we will hear the sermon, and then we wait for the song, and then also for the amen, and then we leave. But if we come together in the expectation before God, after the sermon, to receive the confirmation of his word, and in prayer and faith coming into his presence, then God will satisfy the desire of our heart. We always receive that what we expect. Has the Lord not said every time, let it be done unto you as you believed? Every time it happened according to the faith of them who came to him. When the woman believed in her heart, if I only touch the hem of his garment, then I'm healed. And thus it happened. We must come to the Lord, but believing with all our hearts that he makes his word true in us, confirming it. Still a short passage here. And that gospel light, one moment, still the line before that. He redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose names was put on the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. You just need to read it in the prophet Isaiah. When he will give his life as an atonement, then he shall see his seed, and so forth. Let me read it so that I have it precisely. For it could happen that somebody thinks that we just say it. Here it says in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11 and 12. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let me also read verse 10, for this is the verse which I actually had in mind. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This is God's holy word. Gospel already in the Old Testament. God doesn't start with a new, there the fulfillment starts, but in the Old. He foretold everything. He redeemed you. A seed, a divine seed that was foreordained before the foundation of the world, whose names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And that gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the word. How did we know that he was the Christ? Because he proved what he talked about. How will I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised, and he talks about it. That is the identification that we are the beneficiaries with him in the resurrection. He proves what he has talked about. He fulfilled what he promised by all that what happened already and what came to fulfillment. He laid a living faith into our hearts that he is on the throne and that he will bring to pass his plan of salvation in a wonderful way. Now briefly, some lines. On Easter morning, not only did he rise, but his beneficiaries raised with him. They were in Christ at his crucifixion. They were in him at his resurrection. They are his beneficiaries, quickened after being dead in darkness. The darkened world of unbelief, where churches and denominations and so forth had dragged us. And there's something in us calling, oh, we want God. We are hungering and thirsting for God. This has to be really understood once and be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Then we come with all our own works to a close and rest in the work of God that took place on Calvary. It happened for you and for me, with you and with me. We were in Christ and are still in him today. He in us and we in him. This is the divine mystery. On one hand, God in Christ. On the other hand, Christ in the church. May these words touch our hearts and a stream of thankfulness flow forth. If we do not thank, who shall then do it? If we don't answer after God has spoken with us, what shall and who shall then do it? Every time when a person addresses us, then we respond. If God speaks to us through his word, and this in a loving and intimate way, not to rebuke us, not to beat us, a shepherd is not here to beat the sheep. He is here to lead them on green pastures. Our Lord is the good shepherd. He has given His life for the sheep and made us the sheep of His pasture and the flock of His hand. We are redeemed. We are pardoned. We received God's life, eternal life. And for this we are grateful. And He will help us and carry us through until the end. For He who started, He will also finish it until we enter the pearly gates with Him. God bless us all. Amen. Our faith always needs a biblical foundation, a rock-solid foundation on which it is grounded, so that nothing shakes and staggers. Believe today what God's Word says to us. Even our sin would be red as scarlet. They shall become whiter than the snow. The letter of requirements is torn. Full reconciliation and forgiveness was given to us when the Lamb of God bleeded to death on the cross. Don't doubt it. You hurt the Lord. You hurt the Lord if you doubt it. Believe what God said. The devil is a liar. God is true. We don't believe any longer the lie of Satan, but the truth of God. Hallelujah. This is our firm decision today. Satan is a liar, a deceiver, a murderer. Jesus Christ has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Today, here. Today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you believe it? Then you received it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise be to our God. Brother Hartlip, when I came to your house in the 50s and you received me as an angel of God, I knew that you are of the seed of Abraham. After so many years, I see you again today. My God, how wonderful are the ways of our God. The Lord will find all His own. He knows where they stay. He knows their names. He will find them. Hallelujah. He will lead them. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to our God. On the basis of the authority and truthfulness of the Word of God, I can say to you that the Lord has forgiven you and that He accepted you. Believe it, for thus He said it in His Word. And with this, the matter is finished. And if the enemy still comes with doubts, then just say, Satan, get thee behind me. There, the Lord called me. I came to Him. I belong to Him for time and for eternity. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Some have already become happy and others still will. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And with him also you and I. Hallelujah. We are overwhelmed by your Spirit and by your Word. You blessed us in a mighty way. We are your people, Lord. Lord, we are so happy that we may belong to you. Not only for this time, but for the long eternity. Lord, we remain yours. Whatever may come, you have loved us out. You will continue to lead us. You will continue to be with us. Bless us also now. In the meantime, help us in the coming hours. Lord, you have helped us. You will continue to be with us. To your name be the glory and the praise and the worship. In Jesus' name, amen.